we are. This is Real World Radio on air. www.realworldradio.fm.
Remembering Marikana, interview with Britt Brennan and Nimo Basse at the end of the second session of the Permanent People's Tribunal in South Africa. The second session of the Permanent People's Tribunal, PPT, on transnational corporations, organized by the Southern Africa Campaign to Dismantle Corporate Power and held in Johannesburg, South Africa, came to an end on Friday. A third session is scheduled to take place in October in Geneva, Switzerland, towards the elaboration of a people's treaty to deliver to the United Nations. This is what activist Britt Brennan from the Transnational Institute of the Netherlands and the Global Campaign to Dismantle Corporate Power said in an interview conducted by Via Campesina Africa's communicator Boaventura Mongiane. The interview also included renowned environmental activist Nimo Basse. Nimo is the chair of the Health of Mother Earth Foundation in Nigeria and the former chair of Friends of the Earth International. The working group of the UN Human Rights Council that is negotiating a binding treaty on transnational corporations and human rights will hold a new session in October. The Global Campaign to Dismantle Corporate Power, which gathers organizations from all continents, is pushing for this treaty. In the interview, Brennan and Basse assess the second session of the Permanent People's Tribunal of the Southern Africa Campaign to Dismantle Corporate Power. One of its strongest moments was when the participants attended a ceremony that marked the fifth anniversary of the massacre of Marikana, located a little over 100 kilometers away from Johannesburg, organized by the Association of Mine Workers and Construction Union, AMCU. With several thousand people present, the activity was held in the same place where on August 16, 2012, outside the Lonmin Platinum Mine, 34 workers on strike were murdered by the police and hundreds of people were injured while mobilizing for labor rights.
This interview will be with Nimo Basse and Britt Brennan. Nimo Basse was part of the panel of jurors of the Permanent People's Tribunal here in Johannesburg, and Britt is part of the organizers and also part of the reference group that has put this tribunal together. I would like to start by asking you, Nimo, as part of the jurors, which evaluation can you make as we are closing this session?
Well, in 2 days we've heard cases from communities and civil society groups who have been impacted by transnational corporations and mining corporations about the issue of big hydro dams, as well as food issues. As I would say, what we've seen in the tribunal over these past 2 days is a clear analysis of how neoliberal policies of governments and the push by transnational corporations are impacting local communities. And the good thing is that we're not just seeing only the impacts and the horrible stories, we're also hearing stories of resistance, that people are not giving up and people are standing strong. And this tribunal provides a very good platform for people to strengthen their linkages and to work more in solidarity. So it's been sometimes very painful hearing the witnesses talk about horrible situations where people have been either killed or put in prison. But all the same, you still have a sense of hope that this systemic problem must be tackled at the roots.
Mm-hmm. But knowing that this tribunal is not a binding process, what can we say about its legitimacy?
Well, I think even from the testimonies itself from the affected communities, they see a very important value in the tribunal process, in the sense that they are able to bring their experience, their analysis, their story, and it is respected and honored, and it is commented on. So I think that's a very important achievement, if you like, or within the space of the tribunal. I think also it creates that space of, which Nimo referred to, it creates a new space, in a sense, for solidarity across the communities themselves and a certain convergence of issues, even between this year's cases, which were, in a sense, land, food, but also the financial architecture, for example, was on the table, linking back to last year, which was mainly on the framework of the extractive mining system. And together, in a sense, also for the participants, it provides a very good arena for exchanging views and analysis and coming to conclusions about the system and the systemic nature of the problems they are dealing with, and also to share strategies. I think that's really important. I think in many of the stories, what comes through is also their claim on the future. The life in the sense of survival, of livelihood in the face of extractivism, in the face of repression and so on, is very, very difficult. We also saw that on a mega scale out in Marikana on the 16th of August, which was the fifth anniversary. But in a way, the claiming of the future, I think, is also the claim that eventually the international community and the national responsible movements will really tackle the question of impunity of the corporations. I think that's a strong demand from the communities.
Nimo, I'm sure that the presenters, the communities, are expecting some sort of pronouncement from the jurors. What can be told from your side after hearing seven cases of abuse of violation of human rights?
I wish tribunal was kind of tribunal that would pass judgment on the cases, but that is not the case. So the tribunal is not going to pronounce say this government or this corporation is guilty. But, I mean, this is implied from what we've heard during the 2 days of evidence being provided by the claimants. But what the tribunal would do is to carefully analyze the situations. And as you heard during the course of the program, the process, the jury has been offering some advice to the claimants about what kind of networks, where to get information, where to get advice, how to build connections, how to step these issues further. So what would happen is after the events come to an end, there will be an analysis. Just like we have analysis of what happened in Mazini last year, there will be an analysis, and from there will be conclusions and recommendations. So really, although they may not hear you've got the victory or the matter has been resolved, there's going to be a process by which all the people who have stepped forward will receive help to further push their case forward. And I think also the outcome itself would put pressure on the system, to put pressure on the various rogue governments as well as the criminal transnational corporations. Because one thing we've seen is that as Brenda mentioned, including the one of the cases we heard was about the illicit financial flows, that over $50 billion is stolen from Africa or leaks from the continent every year, far more than a situation where people are talking about foreign aid coming to Africa. Africa is actually a creditor continent. And so all this revealed a very, very basic issue that needs to be resolved by people coming together, reviewing them, then taking action collectively.
In fact, Nimo, in your book, To Cook a Continent, you show and you prove that extractive industry and system won't work for Africa. It will be more of a destruction of the continent. What do we tell to the communities that they know they have resources in their countries, in their communities, but those resources are being extracted and stolen by corporations? And sometimes we may feel that they will like to profit from themselves.
Well, one thing that kept reoccurring during the 2 days here is the issue of free, prof, informed consent. as well. And today we heard also about the place of customary law in fighting for rights. So what we really, what I think communities would learn and what I've been hearing is that they want to have control over their resources and over their environment, over their life, over their territories. And this critically means that communities have a right to say no to extraction and no to any kind of transformation of nature because they depend on the gifts of Mother Earth for their livelihoods and for their lives. This is one thing that kept echoing. Although they didn't say it in this world, they would want to be in a position to know what is coming. No secret manipulation, no secret destruction. We heard a case from Tanzania where the government permitted some corporations to begin extracting uranium without telling the communities. And people thought it was gold they were extracting or some other safe in quotes, mineral that they could handle. And so you had serious impacts on people who did not even know what was going on. This is criminal, clearly criminal, on the part of the government and on the part of the corporations. And so with this kind of information being shared by communities, I believe that they're getting a stronger basis to say no to extractivism.
Mm-hmm. Britt, Nimo mentioned the Manzini process last year. I know you were involved. You were there. What's the difference between the cases that are being presented here in Johannesburg from those that were presented in Manzini, Swaziland?
Well, I think the cases last year were really mainly, actually 90% of them from affected communities by mineral extraction. This year, and that was also a deliberate strategy, it was really looking at other elements of criminal corporate abuse, you know, looking at the land grabs, looking at the totally non-developmental model that is being pushed on communities, but also the role of the big financial, the banks, but also the international financial instruments. No, so in a sense, I think you need to take the two processes together, and it's not yet finished. There will be a third process, which will, in a sense, maybe try to make the connections more strongly, especially on the systemic level, on the questions of deepening the strategies towards how to deal with corporations in this era of runaway, irresponsibility, and the fact that we don't have any instrument at the international level that deals with the crimes and abuses of human rights violations of corporations. On the contrary, we have multiple agreements, treaties, where corporations are empowered in terms of privatization, in terms of liberalization of land laws, changes of constitution, so that this kind of model of extractive development can be pursued with impunity. And corporations can actually sue governments if the government even murmurs about changing the original contract and bring them to an arbitration court. So maybe one of the things that, in a way, this process of the tribunal is part of, actually, is a broader campaign to build an instrument at the UN level, a binding treaty on transnational corporations and human rights. And this is also a bottom-up process because it's works on the principle that, I mean, we've seen very much in the testimonies, both in Manzini and here, that, and I think this is a tremendous asset, actually, in terms of where we're at, because we tend to look very much maybe through the lens of what the corporates are doing, but actually through the lens of what the people are doing, is the demand for substantive participation in a new regime, really, of consultation, responsibility for governance. So I think, we also, and we had it a little bit today with the discussion on community law, I mean, that we need to build new laws from below for the new era we are in, because, the fact that it has failed up to now at the UN level is also indicative of the fact that there is a huge gap in the international human rights law and the trajectory of where corporations have got in terms of corporate hijack of the, if you like, the treaty system even. All trade treaties, investment treaties, and so on have been framed in for the benefits and profits of corporations and for the marginalization of people.
Preet, you mentioned that there will be a third session. Can you tell us more about it?
Yes, there's a very decisive and third session next October in Geneva. Now, the process going on internationally in many communities, including here in Africa, is to to build a people's text, a people's treaty that will go forward. It will be brought by the communities and by the campaign to the process in Geneva. This process will be discussing, it will be discussing elements of the treaty. It will be trying to develop government participation, I mean, government commitment to this. It will not yet be negotiating the treaty, but what we are hoping for and what is being demanded is that the governments will come to the point of saying, beyond October, we will be negotiating a treaty along the elements that will be agreed in Geneva. So mobilization at home in the national level is extremely important. Raising this issue with parliamentarians and other responsible political people, journalists, is really important, because also the organized communities cannot do this alone. It really requires a new convergence of opinion making, if you like. And in a way, I suppose the tribunal exercise is a little bit part of that, you know, giving people the sense, not only giving, but actually affirming what the people themselves have said, you know, that they have the power, they are empowered, and they want to exercise it.
As we conclude this conversation, Nimo, I think there is some thing that happened in Nigeria, your country, against a gas company. If I'm not mistaken, it was Total, where the community took the company to court and they won the case. How do you think this kind of gains could inspire communities to, you know, keep exposing or keep resisting transnational corporations?
Well, the most prominent case of communities gaining victory over oil corporation has been the case of Bodo community in Ogoni, who took Shell to court in the UK. And they had a victory, and Shell was made to pay $83 million for the criminal pollution of Bodo community. Now, that kind of victory was a very good indicator to other communities that, look, there's a level, there's a place at which you can actually get your voices heard, and then justice can, some kind of level of justice can be assessed. So it's a kind of encouragement for the people. But even with that kind of victory, that's just part of the story, because the real issue is the cleanup of the environment. Some of the environments in the mine fields, in the oil fields, are so thoroughly polluted that it would take a lifetime or more than one lifetime to restore the environment to what they were before, and also to get the biodiversity, the whole ecological system back to a good balance. So, gaining victory over these difficult corporations once in a while is a good, they're all good starting points, but it just encourages people to struggle further.
Breed, do you want to say one last thing?
Yes, the days we've had here, and including the day that we had in Marikana, are extremely important in the sense of
what is Marikana? Because we are having a global audience to listen to this interview.
Yeah, well, we hope by now that Marikana actually is a global word. Because what happened in Marikana 5 years ago, it's the site of the Lonmin platinum mining. where on August 16, 34 workers were shot down in their act of mobilizing and demanding a living wage of 12,500 rand. A very, you know, small increase, and the company just claimed that because they have a whole web of illicit flows out of the country, claimed that they were in no position to pay this. And there's been a very good study made on that, and calling it wage evasion. It's not just tax evasion; it's actually wage evasion. And that was an AIDC report. It's a very good one. But what was amazing was, I don't know the numbers, and I haven't read the papers, but there were thousands of people in Marikana for the fifth anniversary, extremely mobilized, making the demand, of course, for basic justice. There has been no justice yet, and also demanding, you know, basic fulfillment from lawmen of promises made before the massacre of decent housing. I mean, we were confronted with the places where this you know, highly skilled workers are forced to live, you know, and their communities and their women, the women and so on. So, basically to say that, that's been a very inspiring experience, that despite the repression, where they have paid a tremendous price for their right to strike, and also hear that the communities are incredibly motivated to continue resistance, but also to develop new strategies, because knowing that actually the strategy of development currently being followed is not for them. So as somebody said earlier today, it was a wonderful quotation, I thought. He said, the right to say that things are not right. It was very, very well put.
Indeed. Thank you, Nimo Basse and Breed, Brennan, for talking to the audience of Radio Mundo Real. And I wish you a great journey in your life.
Thank you.
Real World Radio, broadcasting free words, building popular communications by Fowai.